Sci-fi party line.
Another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line podcast. This is your hostess, Kat, and today I have a very special guest. It is Charles Cadenhead.
Oh, is that me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Hey. Jeez, come on. Now, if you don't know Charles, he did the Mostly News podcast and Desperate Husbands podcast, and I met him back when Lynn and I were doing Lipstick Aliens, so I used to listen to him all the time, and so what's been up?
Not much, man. That was a long time ago. That was 2005.
God, oh.
And it was, and I was a Lipstick Aliens fanboy.
Yeah. I had Lynn on for, I think, a vampire episode, Twilight or something.
Oh, really? I'll have to go back.
Yeah, I forgot which one it was, but she enjoyed that a lot, so.
I'll have to go find it.
Yeah. Charles, you know, we were talking on Twitter about the iPad, and I was like, you know, I haven't talked to you, like, ever in a while. Let's do this, because I've always wanted to. So you getting an iPad or no?
It works buying three for us.
Where do you work?
Yep. Well, you know I teach at college,
yes,
right?
Yes, that's true. Yes, I do know that.
And so we were able, and I think the whole thing is our president of the college, he wants to see one. He wants to play around with one. Mm-hmm. So he was like, if you're going to order one, I'll okay it. So we're like, shoot, yeah. So we ordered three of them just the other day. And we sent to our purchasing office. So it'd be like another 6 months before we get it, because it's got to go to purchasing and then IT. And all these people have to bless it before it even gets out there to Apple. But we'll eventually see one, hopefully this summer.
Good, because you could try to integrate it into, like, the classroom. I would love to see that, you know, because carrying around, like, 500-pound books, because I'm taking classes right now, and the books are huge.
They are. They're huge, and they're expensive.
Yeah, I never got that, but I'll resell it, you know?
A lot of the book vendors mm-hmm. are selling their online versions for 60 to 40% of what the physical textbook cover price is.
Well, good. At least, you know, because you can't resell that. I mean, you can torrent it, but
no, I think that's what they're realizing. They can't resell it, so let's offer it to them a little cheaper.
I would totally buy that. I would totally buy that. Well, anyway, you know, we're a sci-fi podcast, so let's stop talking about tech. Although, I don't know, I was very tempted to get that iPad because it's out.
It's
you know, the fever's out there, and you know,
yeah. Oh, yeah, but wait for version two.
Yeah, because they really do early adopters really bad.
Well, and it sounds like multitasking is coming really soon. There's a lot of rumors about the new iPhone having multitasking. So if it has that, then the iPad will have it too.
Right. Second gen. Exactly. But, I heard about the multitask and the front-facing camera, the possibility of that for the next iPhone. So that
will be really cool when they do that.
Yeah, that's my next phone is iPhone. I'm like keeping my BlackBerry together with tape, duct tape, and whatever, because it's like almost two and a half years old. But I don't want to, you know, get into another contract and get the old phone. So I'm holding out on it, and that thing is going fast.
I bet. Kind of like my daughter who drops her phone in the toilet.
Oh man, I dropped mine down a flight of stairs, concrete stairs. So it's a tank. But, you know, I'm tired of it. So, Caprica.
Yes.
Did you watch Battlestar Galactica?
I did.
And
I liked it.
Really? Okay.
I did.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. No.
No, I was just going to say, listen to y'all talk rag about BSG. You know, I got a little tired of it about halfway through. I kind of got a little fatigued over it.
Mm-hmm.
And I stopped watching it. And my idea was, you know, let's let it go and see how it's going, and I'll TiVo these episodes, and I'll go back and watch them. And that's what I did. I picked about 6 months, maybe a year after I stopped. So I guess right before the last season is when I came back in, and I started watching last season, and I started watching these old episodes again, and I think I may have skipped a couple of them because it kind of didn't really make sense there in the middle of the story, a couple places.
Oh, yeah.
You know, after they left the New Caprica.
Yeah, New Caprica.
After they left there, and Once Duel was fat, you know, Apollo was fat. Oh, this is weird. And,
yeah, that's what I think a little bit of everyone got tired with BSG. Yeah. And I stayed throughout. But I do agree that watching shows in marathon format usually makes you like them a little more because you're just getting, you know, the full on, feel of the show. Is that how you felt? Or?
Well, that helps. And it also helps with the storyline and keeping track of the storyline because you don't have a week to forget what's going on.
That's true.
So you can keep up with who's doing what, and there's a lot of characters in BSG. And so it's hard to try to keep up with everybody unless you're really paying attention, and marathons help with that.
So in comparison to, I guess, maybe first, second season BSG and first season Caprica, what are you thinking? How are you feeling about that?
Oh, Caprica blows it out of the water.
I'm responding well to this show as well. I didn't think I'd like it. I was like, after BSG, I don't know.
It's a lot better.
What exactly do you like about it?
Well, the setting is a lot richer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, yeah, they're stuck in a spaceship up in space, and I get it's gritty and it's war and they're on the edge of extinction, and I get all that. But the Caprica settings are so much fuller and thought out more,
mm-hmm.
and just more complete than what it was on those spaceships. The storyline is great. I want to see a little bit more tech, though, and a little bit more, storyline dealing with the Cylons and dealing with other technologies. They're getting a little bit too drama heavy for me. I'm worried about that.
Yeah, this latest episode with James Marsters and the full on introduction to Greystone's nemesis. It was a little mob heavy
mm-hmm.
for me. You know, it was a little like everybody and I felt, or a lot of people felt like it was starting to feel like Sopranos in space.
Yeah.
And I didn't watch Sopranos on purpose. And so I don't know. I think James Marsters, I was giving crap about being a little hard on the barbed wire around the arm thing. I don't know. For some reason that just like, what is that? You know, I got bored. Or so, I don't know. It's just like, okay, this is where it all starts to feel like the tiresome BSG thing.
Yeah, that was a little weird. That was a little bit like, what was that Angels and Demons movie?
Yeah. Like, that's exactly the first thing I thought of.
Mm-hmm. And maybe they're trying to show that there's there's a rift in the they're calling those guys?
The Infinity Symbol people.
Right, exactly. The one God, true God people.
Yeah.
There's a rift there. There's the militants, and then there's the guys who are trying to solve this with, you know, the peace tree huggers, the peace lovers group, and they don't want, you know, to blow things up anymore. And so I don't know. Maybe that's what they're trying to do. But that was a little extreme.
So you're saying there you have the extreme, crazy.
The militants.
Yeah, just group. The militant. I wouldn't say right wing, conservative. Well, not because conservative. That's okay. Let me stop.
No, call them tree huggers.
No. The tree huggers is the nun or the sister and her family, and then so the weirdos would be James Marsters, right?
Exactly.
The crazy people that are blowing stuff up.
Exactly.
I don't know, because I don't really get, I think we should get a more of an explanation of, like, why are we seeing this huge family on Geminon with the sister? Like, what is that about? Can we learn more about that culture? We learned about the Taurons. They're fine. We get that.
We're learning a lot about the Taurons.
Yeah,
it's like a little bit too much about Taurons.
Yeah. It's like, the funeral, I was like, oh my God, this is so fresh. And then we start learning more about it, and I was like, okay.
Yeah, the funeral was cool.
Yeah, the funeral was cool.
And then they just, I don't know, then they kind of just went too far. And that's what it seems like with this militant group of the true God people with the barbed wire and wrapping around his arm. I'm like, okay, I understand your point with this. You're trying to show that these guys are crazy and they'll do anything. But they're kind of pushing that.
Yeah, it it's getting a little mustache twirly. I don't know.
Exactly.
I don't know. Do we think there's some different writers? I haven't investigated that, but do you think there's somebody different writing than, like, maybe, you know, they really put Ron Moore heavy, like, you sit down, you write, and then we're going to let other people come in, and you think the other people are?
Oh, that's a good idea. I don't know. I haven't looked at that. That's a nice conspiracy.
I'm full of those.
You know, and it could be that just Ron Moore's name on it, and there's a whole studio full of ghostwriters writing this thing. You know, we don't know. And it could be exactly that. Someone's like, oh, I'm the Torn expert. I'll go crazy this episode with Torn stuff. And then we'll eventually get to the Geminon people. And I don't know. So
I don't know. I hope they rein it in. Because I know if we complain too much, Ron Moore will just, like, make somebody commit suicide and piss us off. You know?
Exactly. Like, you like this guy? Tough. I'll kill him all.
I hate that. But, you know, I'm not going to start my complaint campaign just yet because, you know, you got to give it a little chance before you get all weird and snippy about it.
Well, overall, I'm enjoying it.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's beautiful. And so. I just like those sets and everything else. So another thing I want you to talk to me about was the show Human Target.
Oh, yes.
I've been hearing about this on Twitter, and I think it's a spy show, right?
It is a spy show. It's MacGyver meets James Bond.
Whoa.
And the lead dude, his character's name is Chance somebody. Let me see if I can find it. Christopher Chance is the lead dude. Okay? And he's, you know, for you cat, he's kind of some good-looking eye candy. He's a blonde.
You know what I like.
Right. He looks like the new James Bond. Okay.
Huh. You know, when I think I saw a preview, and he kind of looks like the guy from Eureka.
He does. He looks a lot like him.
Captain Carter.
Yeah, he does look a lot like him. Hmm. I don't think they're the same characters.
They're not.
But there is a resemblance there. And so the show is about this guy, Christopher Chance, who each week, it's real similar to like Monster of the Week type of idea, that each week there's a new person he's trying to help out or save.
Oh, so maybe like Burn Notice?
Yes, very similar to that.
Oh.
Very similar idea. And he's got a cast of characters that helps him. And I actually like some of the support characters a little bit more than the main dude. I mean, he's kind of funny, and it's really interesting because each week, I think the writers are having fun with this because each week he, like, learns or knows something new. We find out something new about him. Like, in one episode, we learn that he speaks Japanese. Well, then a couple episodes later, we learn that, you know, he has all this medical knowledge, and then he knows all this obscure law research in another episode. And it's like, okay, what does he not know? And people are, in fact, a couple episodes, somebody was asking him, like, are you a doctor? And he just smiles and keeps on going, and like, you've trained this, right?
Yeah. Are you sure he doesn't have an intersect like Chuck?
I don't know. It's almost like he's a cyborg or something. You know, he's just popping a chip and woo, away he goes. But he's got some guys that helps him. One's called Guerrero, who's kind of the seedy underworld dude. He's kind of the connection to the underworld. And this guy, you don't really know where his alliances lie. He's more like, you know, you pay me so much and I'll be your friend type of character. And I like that person. His character seems to be really interesting because there's a lot there you don't know about this dude. And you don't know what his motivations are and what's driving him. So hopefully they're going to – exactly. There's some mystery with him. So hopefully they're going to feature him a little bit more in some episodes. But it's a fun show. It's a mindless show. Yeah, lots of explosions, lots of tech, lots of nice settings. They're probably shooting it in Vancouver.
Oh,
but lots of different settings each time. It's a lot of fun. And there's been some eye candy for the guys. the actress who plays Six was on the very first episode.
Sweet.
Okay. So it's fun.
All right. I might check it out because I'm liking Chuck so far, and I do like Burn Notice. And, you know, what's one more show? I think you dropped Heroes.
I did. I tried with Heroes. I came back a couple times to it, and I kept trying, and I gave up with the carnival stuff. When they start on the carny things, I'm like, forget it. I'm gone.
Oh, man, I wish I was strong enough for that. I did hold out hope a little bit because, you know, there's Carl and a couple other people are really big fans of the show that, you know, podcast here with me. And so for them, I was like, okay, let me try it. Let me give it a chance. Let me see what they see. Couldn't do it. Oh, man, couldn't do it.
Well, you're probably going to beat me up over this, but Heroes, in my opinion, Heroes has never been the same since the writer's strike.
No, I agree with you. I don't.
It came back a different show.
Yeah, I don't know what they were doing. Maybe I guess. So, yeah, I was told that they got rid of some people. So.
And it's been downhill since then.
Well, I just hope they don't waste the money. They can like donate that money to Haiti or something instead of wasting.
Start a new, better sci-fi show.
Oh, goodness.
Or stick that money into Chuck.
I don't know. Another dismal ending. You said you watched Dollhouse. Well, dismal
yes.
for me. Other people really enjoyed it, so I'm in the minority on that.
I want to enjoy the ending. And I liked the episode of it. I even shed a couple of man tears.
Man tears? Oh.
Yeah, I know. but they jumped, I guess, I understand jumping into the future, and that kind of makes sense. But they introduced new characters too fast. Mm-hmm. I understand there is a missing episode that I need to track down and watch.
Oh, you didn't see the missing 13th
episode. The one with, right, okay. With Felicia Day in it.
Yeah.
I need to go back and watch that one, because I think that one would make a much more sense to help
not
it
really.
Make
sense. Not really.
No, really?
I mean, you'll get it more, like you'd be like, oh, okay. But still, when they did it, it's just like, wow, that's a lot of jumping. I mean, initially when you first see the 13th, it's like, wow, that's a lot of jumping. And then if you haven't seen it, you still think, oh, that's a lot of jumping. What is going on? I mean, there were some cool factors to the finale, but.
There was some neat stuff, like Alpha being good. And it's like,
oh, that drove me nuts. That drove me nuts.
Well, I wanted some explanation.
Yeah, they did. They were just like, they hugging, giving each other exactly. pounds, handshakes and stuff. And like,
it's like kissing people. I'm like, what the hell?
I might get beat up for this one, but this is the worst Joss Whedon ever.
Oh. Yeah, I can see that. I can go along with that. it had some potentials.
Yeah.
But I think you can almost see the politics with Fox going on between episodes. Because one episode would be really good, and the next episode is kind of like, you know, Monster of the Week. Mm-hmm. It's like, what's going on? And then back to a really good episode with a story arc and some hints to some things going on. And then it's back to, you know, okay, we're going to seduce this dude and find out what he knows and rob him.
It's it's crazy.
So I wanted to like it. And I watched it. I watched every episode of it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I didn't really have any problems with the tech. Of course, you know, it doesn't really make sense. But I could buy into...
Yeah, you can suspend your belief.
Right. But this the way they treated the characters and treated the story arc, that's where I had the trouble.
Yeah, well, we don't have to be tortured with that.
Yeah.
And I'm going to jump around to one more. V, are you watching?
V, yes.
You like V, good.
Do. Yeah, it's cool. And I watched the old one on Sci-Fi when it was on a couple weeks ago.
Okay. Oh, it was on a couple weeks ago again?
Let's go. They had a marathon again.
Okay.
And I watched that maybe like a month ago, and I watched it.
Did you watch it back, like, before that? Have you seen it before that?
I hadn't seen I've seen it, back in the 80s when it came out.
Okay. Yeah, I was trying not to say back in the 80s because I didn't want to, like, show our age or anything, but, you know.
Back my day.
Let me get on my cane.
Oh, I remember that. I was excited as a kid.
Oh,
it was all
cool. And, it was such an event.
It was. It was. And it was pretty cool. And it held up well. And it still, today, holds up pretty well. I mean, the special effects are cheesy.
Yeah.
But it's cool. It's not too bad. And that's what I was going to say is the new... V seems to be the same storyline, just with newer technologies and better special effects. It's like they updated the special effects and they're following the same general storyline.
General, but, you know, I think the original V had more of a message about society, and it felt, I don't know, kind of epic in a sense for something sci-fi like that, you know. But this one, it just seems, you know, like a regular science fiction show, and they might throw something in there that's kind of deep, you know.
Well, the original, I think, was one of the first series, at least I remember, that had a overall story arc. You know, the sci-fi mm-hmm. that I was used to, like, you know, Quantum Leap mm-hmm. and even MacGyver, you know, it was kind of pretty much, there was not much storyline to it.
Right.
And that was really, I guess because it started as a miniseries first and then went to a TV show.
Oh, God, that TV show. Oh, my goodness. That's some painful TV.
Michael Ironside in it.
Oh, my God, they need to bring him back. I love that guy.
He does. He really needs to be in the new V. As a cameo or something.
Anything, because that guy, he's just awesome. He's there with Bruce Campbell and, you know, those uh-huh. guys, Jeffrey Combs and stuff. You just love him for whatever.
He always plays the same role. Yeah. I mean, he's Michael Ironside in everything he does.
Even in G.I. Joe. Exactly. Oh, my God. Oh, man. Well, Charles, we are going to wrap this one up. It's a little short, okay. But we're going to wrap this up. And I guess, do you watch Lost at all or anything? No.
You know, I missed The Lost Boat. Okay. Both my wife and I did. And it first came out, and there was a bunch of other stuff on at the same time. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, you know, maybe I'd get to it. And we never watched it, at least for the first 6 months we did it. And then all of our friends were like, oh, this is a cool show. You got to watch it. But if you missed the first couple episodes, don't bother because you'll be totally lost.
Yeah, I'm like, that's true. Okay. It's get ready, and you might as well leave it alone. Well, yeah, I was just trying to figure out a way to bring you back so you can talk with like Eric and all the other guys and stuff. So we'll bring you back on for a Capricorn okay. show because I'd love okay. to hear you guys bounce off of each other.
That'll be fine. Yeah, I'm holding out for when Lost goes on to Sci-Fi. Then I do a marathon of all like, you know, 5 years of it. And then
ooh,
I'll watch
that
it.
That is painful, dude. What are you telling
me? No. TiVo to the rescue.
Oh, my God. Okay. Well, Charles, thanks so much for coming on talking with me. This was fun.
Thanks for having me.
All right. And, guys, give us a call at 773-336-2686. And scifipartyline.com is where you can leave comments. And we will see you at the party next time. Bye-bye.
Hi, this is Eric, and because this show started off with a discussion on the iPad, I thought this would be a perfect opportunity to play the iPad song by friend of the show David Wu, the maestro extraordinaire behind the Fridge Monks, who do pretty much the best Fringe recap / parody songs around. You may have heard a couple of them on our show before. And David's iPad song at one point was pretty much the most listened to iPad song on the net, especially on YouTube. So check out his Fringe Monk podcast on iTunes and check out his website, the iPad video on YouTube. All the links will be in the show notes. And hit it, guys.
iPad, you ain't nothing! You ain't nothing! Steve Jobs the man, he does most things right, but I'm not sure about his new device. You can only run one app at a time. Screens 4 to 3, not 16 to 9. No flash, no cam, no HD. Am I? It's not a netbook, BlackBerry or Droid. It looks like an iPhone that's on steroids. I'm basing this on that keynote feed. That's Apple crowd, lots of everything. Well, they say the sky's the limit for what Apple can do, but I'm rather disappointed. Should I wait for version
Saliva.